to another edition of Thunderdome!
And this is always the Thunderdome. This is New York Giants Straight Talk, powered by Online Big Blue LLC. Want to talk about that Brian Burns move? Want to talk about... I was going to talk and get into the rest of free agency, but I'm kind of dumbfounded and befuddled by this move by Joe Shane. And I'm not saying that it is not a good move. I am not saying that a second rounder and a fifth is not a bad move for Brian Burns. We're also, I believe, swapping fifth round picks in this year as well. So it's if you're looking at fair trade compensation or fair trade value, it's okay. Giants send the 24th second round pick, which is 39th, 2025 pick and exchange, and a 2025 pick to the Panthers. And they're also going to swap picks as well. So they're also swapping the fifth round pick of 2024, Giants sending 141 to the Panthers for 166. So we've dropped down in the draft a little bit. But if you're looking at fair compensation value for a guy like Brian Burns, that's a good contract. That's a good value. But then you got to start looking at this a little bit more on the surface. Brian Burns is a good player. Brian Burns could be coming into his own anytime soon. We do not know. We don't know what kind of situation he's going to be. We don't know what his talents are going to turn out to be. People will point out the fact that he was with a bad Carolina team and still had 8 sacks. But then you kind of break it down a little bit more. And I know we don't like doing these things, but we're going to do it anyways. You break it down a little bit more and you take a look at his last year's season. And we've said this before, he had 8 sacks, but also count how many games he didn't even have a sack. He had 8 games without a sack. Ask me how many games he had no solo tackles or the minimum of 1 in a game. I'm going to tell you, he had 2 games where he had no solo tackles, and he had 4 games where he only had 1 solo tackle. And then he had an additional 7 games where he only had 2 tackles. He had 32 total tackles last year, and 18 of those were assists. And people will talk about his quarterback pressure and his hit rating. And again, pressure needs to equate to something. What did his pressures equate to? Did his pressures equate to incompletions? Did his pressures equate to, you know, the quarterback fumbling? Or were they completions, or what were they? And then you go back to 2022, which is arguably his best season, where he had his 12 and a half sacks. And you ask again, Tim, how many games did he have half a sack or less? And he didn't even play in the 17th game. He only played in 16 games. He had, with a half a sack or less, he had 6 games. Then you ask me again. Oh, sorry, 7 games. I forgot the first game of the season. Then you ask me again, how many games did he have one solo tackle or less, which is 0? And that season, which was arguably his best season, he had 2 games with 0 tackles, and then he had an additional 3 games with only 1 tackle, 1 solo tackle. So that's 5 games. Then you ask me again, Tim, how many games did he have just 2 tackles, 2 solo tackles? I'm going to tell you, 1, and this is in his big season, 6 games. The stats are eerily similar to Kayvon Thibodeau. His gameplay is eerily similar to Kayvon Thibodeau. He'll get you sacks in bunches. In that big season, 6 of his sacks came in 3 games. At 12 and a half sacks, so half of his sacks came in 3 games during his big season. Is he that big time difference maker? Is he that stopper? Is he that stuffer? Is he the Lawrence Taylor S stopper the Giants have been looking for to team up with Kayvon Thibodeau on the other side? I don't know. But if you go through his statistics, you look at the potential, you could see what he could be. And he also had 12 and a half sacks on a 6-10 team, but only had 34 solo tackles the entire year. And he had 29 assists. That's his big year. And we've always talked about the fact that if you take, you know, if you have almost more assists or almost equal assists that you do with solo tackles, that means you are getting your tackles as pylon stats, that you are jumping onto the pile. There are many, ask me, how many games did he have more assists than solo tackles that big time year? Well, let's see. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm not saying he's not a good player. I'm not saying he's not going to come in here and wreak havoc on the New York Giants. I'm not saying that we're not going to.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome.
I'm not saying it's not going to be a new NASCAR for the Giants. I'm not saying any of that. I'm not saying that he's not a quality player. I'm not saying that he doesn't fit the system. Well, you know, it's funny. You bring in Shane Bowen, who likes to rush four. And I loved it because everyone told me he ran a 3-4 defense. He runs a 3-4 defense. And I said, well, he usually likes to generate the rush with four down linemen. And he only blitzes about 25% of the time. So you're bringing in a guy who has an eerily similar skill set to Kayvon Thibodeau, who you are going to have rush and be the sole generation of the pass rush because you only blitz about 25% of the time. And you, if you ever watched any Tennessee games, he does like to drop his ends and his linebackers into coverage. And let's be honest, Brian Burns has played defensive end the last 3 years. He's got like something crazy, like 3,000 snaps the last couple of years just at the defensive end position. So he's going to be a defensive end. He's not a linebacker. You can call him a linebacker, call him whatever the hell you want. He's a defensive end. But this defense doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense for Brian Burns, to be honest. This would have made more sense if you had Wink. You still had Wink here. Then I'd be like, okay, you've just created the new sack exchange. That's what you just did. But you're bringing in, and like I said, Shane could run an entirely different system. I don't know what Shane's system is going to be. We have no idea. The system can be something that we have no total idea. Of what the system's going to be. It could be something totally different. We don't know. We can't figure that out yet. We got to figure that out, but we don't know what it is yet. But you're bringing a guy who's like 6'4", 250 pounds, looks almost identical to Kayvon Thibodeau. And Kayvon Thibodeau didn't have a sack in the last six games. And I think he had 7 sacks in 3 games out of his 10.5 sacks. So you're going to hope, and you're bringing in two guys that are not known to be proficient at playing in the run, maintaining their assignment, holding the edge. So you better come up with some linebackers to pair with these guys, because I get concerned that you're going to turn around and these two guys are going to be a little bit over-aggressive and they're going to go past each other, and then they're just going to either run the draw or throw a short pass up the middle. Yeah, because of the fact that we've seen Kayvon. How many times have we watched Kayvon Thibodeau go wide? How many times have we watched Kayvon Thibodeau be handled by a tackle and pushed out of the play? And we talked about it before. He wasn't cutting his plays inside. He was going, if you watched a lot of the film, Kayvon Thibodeau was being pushed to the sideline by the tackle, sometimes even by a tight end. And I think Brian Burns is going to have a little bit more of a repartee in reference to his sack ability than Kayvon Thibodeau. But you're paying this guy big time money. You're giving this guy 141, 87.5 guaranteed, including a $25 million signing bonus that prorates to $5 million per year over the life of the contract. So his salary is $18 million, but with the $5 million, his cap hit this year is $23 million. And you're guaranteeing an 11.5 of his $22 million is fully guaranteed next year. In 2026, it goes up to $1 million per year per game bonus, and he has a $2.5 million roster bonus in each of the 2027-2028 season. And that's, of course, if he's still on the roster. So you're looking at cap hits of 2024, 23.5. 25 is going to be 27, 26, 28, 27, 30, 28, 30. Now, we'll get more of the full details once everything goes to the league. And once the free agency and everything starts. So he's not a free agent. He was a trade though. But we'll get more information on that. So you have 30 something million, and then you turn around and give John Runyon Jr. 3 years, $30 million, 17 of that guaranteed, including a $7.5 million signing bonus prorated to $2.5 million annually. His base salary is $3.5 million and 3.75 million with $5.75 million in 2025 and $9 million base salary, which are guaranteed. He also gets a $250,000 workout bonus. So his cap number this year is $6.5 million, 11.75 and 11.75, which isn't a bad deal, which is actually is a pretty good team-friendly deal. But if you take a look at the $6.5 million and you combined it with the $23.5 million, you just gave $30 million to Runyon and Brian Burns. John Runyon, if you talk to anyone in Green Bay and in Wisconsin, I actually talked to a couple people in Wisconsin. They said that if he wanted a number anywhere north or anywhere near $10 million, the Packers were going to release him. This was before it happened. And the scouting report on him is good pass blocker, has issues getting pre-snap penalties. And this was told to me by somebody that works in media around Green Bay. He has a problem stumbling over his own feet. You're not going to be able to pull him. You're not going to be able to do anything that is going to need to. He's athletic, but he's clumsy. I think it was best. They said he was athletic, but he was clumsy. And they referred to him as the weakest link on the Packers line the last 3 years. It sounds like Glowinski all over to me. And then we picked up the guy from the Raiders. It's Cam Fleming. It's Cam Fleming all over again. Are these upgrades of the position? Sure. But till we see all the contract details, who's minding the salary cap here? And I'm a little concerned because Joe Shane, he's the king of doublespeak. At one point in time, he tells you, well, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this, and we are going to build through the draft and augment through free agency, and we're not going to overspend, and we're not going to do this, and we're not going to get rid of the assets. And then he does exactly what he says he's not going to do. So not even getting the information on the two contracts, the offensive lineman from the Raiders and Devin Singletary, we have about $8 million in cap space. We have about, I would say we have almost, I'd say we have a little bit, I'd say we have closer to $9 million in cap space. And that's not including the two other contracts. And it's not including the contract for Gunner and Carter Coughlin and everybody else. So while I'm not upset that we gave Runyon the money, because we didn't really give him a lot of money, but he was probably the eighth best guard on the market. And again, like I said, it reminds me of a move that's Glowinski. Glowinski, we've said it before. We said it when they signed Glowinski. You know, he had a pedestrian career before he came to Indianapolis. So when he improved in Indianapolis, was it the blocking scheme that fit him to a T that allowed him to be above average? And I say yes. And I said yes. And that kind of what happened. So right now the Giants have a little over $9 million in cap space by my numbers. If you want to talk about total effective cap space, and that's cap space that, and we all, how many times we have been talking about the fucking rule of 51 for how many years? The rule of 51, we've been talking about that for how many years? They'll have about $2 million in effective cap space once the rule of 51 kicks in. So there's going to be some restructures. There's going to have to be. You're going to have to restructure Andrew Thomas. You're going to have to restructure Dexter Lawrence. There's going to have to be, because there's no money. There's no money at the inn. Who's minding the cap store? Oh, I know, Tim. Don't worry about it. I only predict the cap every year, and I haven't been wrong in 4 years. Because I've said it before, math is math. I didn't invent math. You got to get Waller to retire, because then you get almost $7 million in cap space. But still, you have a roster to fill. You have rookie contracts to take care of. Now, remember, even though if our rookie pool is 11, we only really need like four in the beginning, because we are four or five. I can't remember the number, because we don't need the full amount because the other contracts aren't guaranteed. But who's minding the cap store? If someone can explain that to me, it's great. You got a Kayvon Thibodeau type guy with a defensive coordinator who only blitzes 25% of the time after you getting rid of a guy that loved to blitz. You brought in an offensive lineman that they say in Green Bay he is clumsy and he was the weakest link on the line. You brought in another guy that reminds me of Cam Fleming, and you brought in a 5'7 running back to replace Saquon Barkley, who got more than fair market value for his worth. The money that you gave Brian Burns, the year average, you could have paid Saquon and McKinney. Just throwing it out there, guys. Big stream today at noon. Make sure you stay tuned for that. And as always, this is Tim. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to ring that bell because you want to know why. That'd be awesome.